The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Greg, and Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is Footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime. Man, what a day that was. That was a celebration. Wonga just said off camera, it felt like a wedding in many ways. And it really did, like a good wedding, a wedding that you want to go to and where you like both people and where it's not all about the presents. It's about the love. That's what presents. That felt like.
The presents.
Presents?
Yes, E-N-T-S.
Not the material presence, E-N-T-S, but presents. Everyone's
And when I said it was like a wedding, it was a wedding that were part of the the wedding party.
I know why Dubs is laughing. Your voice is freaking amazing right now.
It's
like the tones are so syrupy. They're beautiful.
If I were an alcoholic, I'd have a really good voice.
This would be a perfect voice to do the spots for Tim Horton. Be like, Tim Horton's COVID maple syrup.
Look at what we're going to do. Welcome to World Cup Watch Canada, brought to you by our friends at Tim Hortons. It's game on with Tim's.
Well, honestly, man, I would pay someone to promote my product with that voice. It's like almost like you're nicotine kissed.
It's game on for anything with that voice.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
It's funny, yesterday, all of us were just spread everywhere. It's Dubs and Wonga and me, Shams, today. We're all doing various different things throughout the day separately. Although we did do a bell ringing, me, Dubs, and Wonga.
Much fun. Canadian Securities Exchange.
It was so great.
I tugged that cord good, you guys.
Oh,
we rang it hard.
We're going to show it too because they just sent the Dropbox for it. So we'll be able to share it next week. Yeah. I'm a little intimidated by Amy Walsh and her hands. I just want you to everyone know this.
I thought she overrang a little bit.
Okay, I was told by Michelle, the lovely person Melissa. Who arranged it, along with our, Melissa. Sorry, also yeah. Melissa. Michelle is somebody else who's very near and dear to me, apparently. Melissa, terrific, and James. Other James, yeah, Bizarro James. That you could not overring said bell. That like it was best to go with gusto, and so that's what I did.
Well, we'll let the listeners and viewers decide that when we get to drop them in our social feeds in the next few days. Did Dubs overring it? Mm-hmm. Okay. But so we did that. Wonga was hosting an event with JC at Earl's with the Toronto Star on behalf of Footy Prime. Now, believe it or not, this is what he says anyway. He's not hungover. This is purely from talking a lot yesterday, very loudly.
Talking a lot.
The days for Wonga, but especially. Yeah. Especially.
It was super fun. It packed up by the end. There were a couple of hockey heads who were there just talking. I was telling Craig this last night. Talking all the way through. Did I just say hawking?
You did. Yeah,
maybe this is why this voice won't carry. I can't say words at 8 a.m. But there's a level of, there was a little level of obtuseness from like 8 or 9 people who were just right near us, who were not watching the game at all.
Really?
So I think, but it was a paid event. So either they were invited in or they were friends and were there free and they came for the, now it was great for the atmosphere because there's lots of people. It was jammed by the end, like literally shoulder to shoulder, but it was a great, it ended up being a great event. Like we were so happy with it and the Star was very happy with it. So that's what made us happy. Yeah.
Great.
Do you not think that's a microcosm of Canada right now? The atmosphere was great seemingly everywhere yesterday. We were seeing scenes, whether it was Canada House, the Voyageurs walk, the supporters, the smoke, people in loud voice, the stadium that we were worried. I was spreading false rumors about it being filled with Aussie fans.
You were.
So I think it was still a little bit muted but it was still very much the readout that Jesse Marsh wanted. So do you think those people who are obtuse, or, you know, they've got their blinders on, they don't want to see what's happening with this growth of the sport and the swell of support for soccer in this country and both of our national teams, particularly now, this gigantic platform, the biggest World Cup ever, it's here, it's on our shores, and then they're still ignoring it? Do you not think that is a reflection of what's going on with the rest of Canada, but we're able to kind of infiltrate and change minds? I think we're getting there a little bit.
I hope so. And I know you said in Sportsnet that this could be a tipping point, like last night, yesterday.
Yeah.
Perhaps. I mean, the energy, I mean, I don't think I'll ever forget the feeling I had yesterday, really all day, from getting up early and going to the stadium and doing the CBC hits just outside the stadium. Seeing Dubs down there. There was, I don't know, there's something very tangible about this atmosphere, which I've never experienced before ever in Canadian soccer. Now, that road to 2022 was pretty special. There was some amazing moments. Some of those marches in Hamilton, I remember in particular, was just freaking brilliant. But there was something about this, there's a buzz yesterday and excitement. And I don't think I'll ever forget that feeling. It was incredible. And then getting to the stadium, and like you said, Dubs, all our fears, I think, in the end were for nothing, because it was a readout. There was obviously a fantastic contingent of Bosnian fans who sounded so good. Mm-hmm. What I noticed, though, and I think it's because of the price point of the ticketing, they sold out or close to, so good for them. But there were times in the match, the goal in particular, introduction, certain moments where it was very, very loud. It was so ear-piercing. 43,000 fans, it was great. But throughout the general course of the game, I think there are a lot of people there who perhaps don't go to too many football games and don't quite get it. The Voyagers were there in fine voices always. They're incredible. They were brilliant. You could hear them. And you could hear the Bosnians, man, who just, like I said, were just so loud. But overall, there were dips. There was times it seemed quiet in there. And certain chants happening at weird times in the game or on. Generally, you go to a football stadium and the fans and the chants come at certain times. You know, they keep the momentum of the game going and they sense when the team's down and they get louder. I saw Promise David getting the fans fired up. I saw Jesse Marston and say, come on, guys, come on, let me hear you. So I think that's just the result of such a high ticket price, right? And certain fans being priced out, simple as that. So but overall, it was a great atmosphere.
Charms, you could hear Jesse Marsh yelling on the pitch?
No, not yelling. No, you could see him with his arms, right? And some of the players were doing it and on the pitch, which isn't uncommon in football. We see that a lot. But so it was overall an incredible atmosphere, but just a buzz, a feeling a warmth in the soccer community that finally were being noticed, which I thought was really, really nice.
I was fortunate enough to be stuck in the in traffic when I was coming to meet you guys, and we tried to go along King Street to head downtown, tried to go along Lakeshore, got stopped, ended up going along Queen Street and drove by where the Voyageurs, the supporters club of Canada's national teams, were meeting. So I'm driving by and there's all these people coalescing, getting together, all with the big smiles on their face. And you see them gather as I'm walking, but going to Dub's point about, they're like people, you know, pushing grocery carts who don't have a clue what is going on. Some guy going to get a coffee at a Starbucks or at a coffee shop around the corner. Yeah. And they're clueless. They're like, what's going on here? Right. And there's probably about 3,000 or 4,000 people wearing the same shirt walking down the street. And they don't, you're like, oh, you didn't realize that the city's being taken over by soccer in the world right now. That is what's happening, right? It's so intriguing.
It's nothing that we've ever seen before, is it?
It's remarkable.
You know, we talk about our bubble. Can you imagine that bubble that you live in, that you're just walking down the street with a coffee? What is going on?
Friday. Oh, yeah. It's the FIFA.
it's the FIFA.
You can tell because you see all these social media posts being dropped by people and people we know, like as far as journalists, reporters who never cover the game, but suddenly they're experts in Jesse Marsh's tactical plan. It's like, oh my God, stop. Just stop. Stay in your lane.
But also, I don't mind. Come on in. Like, you might make a misstep, but come and talk about the game and come and discover it. And the same thing with that stadium, Sharms. It was quiet at times. We will learn collectively.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like the Voyageurs will grow and grow and grow and grow. And then more people who are casual fans will understand the ebbs and flows of the match and how to support the team with maybe more than Go Canada Go, but also Go Canada Go is just fine.
Yeah, I know. I'll get over that. I will. I'll get over that Go Canada Go. That's fine. Cause it did sound pretty good when it was the whole stadium chanting it.
So
and
cool.
if you're adjacent to the Voyagers and you're not a Voyager and maybe you're not a big football fan or you're experiencing a World Cup or a big match for the first time, I wonder how many more recruits the Voyagers get during and after this World Cup. We'll speak to Rob at the Voyagers post World Cup and ask him, because I bet they get thousands more. I mean, I want to be part of that group.
This message is brought to you by Tim Hortons at participating restaurants in Canada for a limited time.
Introducing Tim's Taste of the Globe, a limited time squad of globally inspired Timbits and iced cap flavors.
And trust us, this lineup came to play.
We're talking a Brazilian lime cheesecake Timbit,
a French chocolate creme brulee Timbit,
an Italian cappuccino Timbit,
and a Canadian fireworks Timbit,
plus a Mexican caramel churro ice cap that absolutely deserves a chant.
It's game on at Tim's with the new Timbits and ice cap flavors from around the globe.
Try them all today.
I will.
I know you will. Now back to the show.
Yeah. I was stuck in the in the press tribune, which, by the way, for BMO, usually it's a press box, right? That's closed down. They've got stuff in their equipment. They've the first, like, it must be 50 rows of seats they've redesigned into this press tribune. And there's Sebastian Schweinsteiger over there, and there's Samuel Umtiti over there. It's pretty cool. But it's so different to anything BMO Field's ever seen before, but it's what they do at World Cups.
Yeah.
But I was sitting there, and it was amazing. But to my left is the Voyagers, right, in that north side. I'm thinking, man, what a do to be part of that right now. It looks so much fun. They were great. And I thought, for everyone in Canadian soccer right now, what this means to us media types, alumni, ex-players, you know, who I'm happiest for those guys and girls, because they've been there through the shit and they've never turned their backs on this team ever. Mm-hmm. Maybe in the association at times, they've had to, they've made their points, but they've never turned their back on the team. And they were just in such fine voice, and they did Canada proud, because I'm not sure how it looked on TV, but I'm sure people from around the world were looking. I'm sure they cut away to those sections and thought, wow, that looks like a real football crowd there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our friend James Sharman, who we're speaking to right now, did a tweet. So if you want to dip your toe into football culture, follow James Sharman, follow Amy, follow Footer Prime on either Twitter or IG. But Sharms did a little tweet yesterday that said, despite lots of angry people furious with me for suggesting I quite like Toronto Stadium, it looks fucking great today. And all of a sudden people are like, it looks a whole lot better from the inside. Time for the FIFA to start was a joke. I hate your accent from Amy Walsh, which is one of the funniest things I've seen. But it's getting resonance, which is even greater.
It's true. And,
yeah. Good sight lines. Even my favorite. There was two favorites. Good sight lines, even from the Timu seats. Sorry.
You know what? I mean, I don't want to dwell on any negativity here, right? But I was amazed by some of the haters out there still. I put a tweet out on Thursday just from the stadium, saying that I like BMO Field. Sorry, you know, I just said, you know what, it'll take its lumps this World Cup, but I've always liked it. It's simple and it's got some throwback vibes to old school football, which it does. And some of the hate and anger from people who just can't be happy from that simple, subjective tweet. No, it was incredible.
Yeah.
And I thought, people, you must be so unhappy in yourselves. This is an amazing moment for Canadian soccer, and you're taking the time just to hammer a very simple, basic opinion, which isn't in the least bit controversial. My God, it's a big thought in a stadium, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of sad, but those people can go away.
This here's the last one, because it was a negative one, but I'm not sure if it's from Abyssinian. and it's on our Twitter. And it's, this stadium is trash. I'm reading it with tone. So just so you know, this stadium is trash. I thought Canada was a rich country. No wonder Trump wants to take this shithole over.
Oh, so, come on.
That's a beaut. Can I read mine, actually? I've got to read this. Yeah, yeah. I laughed.
And then let's get to the game.
Yeah. You know, we're getting to it. Don't worry. This is on TCB. Old school. Name one UK old school stadium close to that embarrassment. Only reason you ever got a job was your accent. You and your buddy, Christian Jack.
Wow.
Someone's pissed off for no apparent reason. That made me laugh. Yeah, it's true. I only got my job because of my accent.
Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah. No anyway, skill, no talent, accent.
To the game. I think 15 minutes on the actual day in the event was important to set it up.
Yes.
Right? Momentous day.
Yes.
So to the match itself, Dubs.
Yeah.
I suppose that Faisal after the match, I just basically said they deserve better, but a point's fine in your opener. Is that fair?
Yeah. And I think that's what they were meant to get. Like, that's what I expected them to
do. You called it.
I did. I called 1-1.
Yeah.
And, you know, not that makes me, you know, an expert or anything, but I thought they were going to share the points. I really did. And the 1-1, I maybe just got a little bit lucky. But I think Canada, you know, Jesse Marsh complained about, you know, not getting the best out of some of those starters. I think Jonathan David in particular, we know that he missed that sitter. And I mean, he hasn't had very many goals in open play. The goals that he has had in a Canada kit of late have been from the penalty spot. And then there was that gift that fell through him, that ball whipped in by Alistair Johnston. It takes that fortuitous deflection off the defender, just sits up for him perfectly. It's not bouncing. It's not spinning. It's just there, just above the penalty spot. And you think, surely this is 1-0 for Canada. And he tops it. He doesn't hit it. He goes side foot with his left foot and gets the top of the ball, kind of drives it into the turf, takes all the power and the pace off of it right into Vasil, the goalkeeper. I couldn't believe it. I thought that, like, that was it. That was our moment right there. Like, to start the tournament off, set the tone. There was the goal. We're off and running. And it wasn't there. And I thought there was, Jesse Marsh again talked about a little bit of hesitancy. And I was watching, and it was like the tempo, the speed of play just wasn't quite there. There was a slight disconnect in the way that they were executing, especially their attack. And then Tanny Alouache, he like did a lot of work. So like Jonathan David, in addition to missing that sitter, I think he did do a lot of work out of possession, but he's not quite himself. Tanny Alouache, a similar thing where he still can't finish. He's missing that clinical edge, but he did a lot to create, I think, some movements and pockets of space, some opportunities and some chances for Canada. But I think the most surprising thing, they come out raring to go. I think the hydration breaks we're going to see over the course of this tournament really play into changes of momentum. And Bosnia took full advantage of that. The way that Canada looked so passive on that corner, the way that Eustachio ran out, like sensed danger for a short corner, leaves the guy behind him and is an easy flick on. Max Crepeau is kind of in no man's land. That was just really strange to me. And there we are, we're chasing the game. But I still feel like Bosnia, maybe to their credit and maybe didn't apply enough pragmatism, Canada were still able to kind of manipulate them and create chances. They didn't sit deep. They didn't park the bus. But the triple sub by Jesse Marsh, one, to change the entirety of his front line, but then after the fact, to pull John David off the pitch. So the big call initially was Tanny starting, right? I was like, oh, it's Tanny time. It wasn't necessarily Tanny time, but we figured it was going to be Kyle Larin, right? And then it wasn't. So that was a big call from Marsh, I thought. So he deviates from plan a little bit. And then John David, if you told me before the match that Stephen Eustachio and Jonathan David were not going to play 90 minutes in that match, I would have been stunned. I would have said, you're wrong. That's not what's going to happen at all. So I thought like some bravery by Jesse Marsh, and I thought perfectly executed the way that he subbed and the way that he managed his game, and credit to those subs as well to elevate the play and to go and get that goal. And then promise David that little flick around the corner.
Oh, I loved that.
And even Kone's
move to get the ball to him.
He was a little bit quieter in the second half, Sharms, because I thought he was one of our brighter spots in the first half, like driving space.
Kone?
Kone.
Mm-hmm. I thought he was good in the second half, though.
He was good, but like I thought he was quieter up until that moment. And then to leave Schwanier and Saliba on the bench, again going back to Marsh, not surprised that Oso is chosen in that moment as the fifth sub to kind of lock down the game, assure a share of the points, and maybe even push for more, because we know Bosnia came up huge, like the save off the line on the Larea chance. I mean, Laren could have bagged a brace if he'd chosen to go first time again after Richie kind of cuts it back off of the byline. But yeah, Oso in that moment, I think we see in Qatar, maybe he leans on not a different midfield to start, but on Schwanier and Saliba to play a bigger role.
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, I would think there'd be a lot more space in that midfield against Qatar than against Bosnia. I mean, we can criticize John David, but he didn't have a hell of a lot of space to work with in there. But there's something missing. There's something wrong there for sure. Mm-hmm. All it takes is for a striker is a goal. That's all it takes. And he almost had it. And then we'd be having a very different conversation, because this could have been a 3-1. You know, it really could have been. It could have been a convincing Canada win. Not that they are miles better than Bosnia by any stretch, but their finishing is clearly, I mean, Jesse keeps telling us this. Don't worry, the goals will come, but we're still waiting, you know, and it is a problem. Against mm-hmm. a top, top team, it's going to kill you.
I was thinking
Bosnia, you can just about get away with it.
There's a lot of guys from the GTA, and maybe the moment got them in that first half. Do you know what I mean? Like,
perhaps. You could be right.
I mean, the pressure, the expectations.
It seemed a little, I don't know. There was so much emotion that the emotion before the game, I think, took a little bit of air out of their actual play. Even though they were playing well, it seemed like I stayed up. Debs and I were talking about it. We stayed up and watched the South Korea Czech game. And it had a bit of that vibe where Canada seemed to be the better squad on the team, on the pitch. But missing those opportunities. That's what happened with South Korea for almost like 80 minutes. And then they kind of turned it around. And this is where one question to Dubs was, I thought Jesse did great with the subs, but it was more the timing of it. Mm-hmm. I thought...
Good point, Warner.
I just kind of went, you know, not a lot going with Tanny, and he puts Kyle in, I think, for like 22 minutes or something. Like, I don't remember the full number, but when he's making these subs, I thought it could have happened a little earlier. That's all. I was like, you know, change it up. Something's not working. And I spent time with Craig last night talking on the phone because he was so wired and exhausted all at the same time. And yeah, we were talking about John David, and he goes, he doesn't have his confidence. And I'm not like, he's hitting the ball and it's going right down the middle. He doesn't want to miss the net. There's no, you know, trying to pick a side, trying to go high. It's literally just putting the ball on net. And he goes, I feel like he's missing that confidence right now.
He's overthinking.
He's overthinking. Inherent. Yeah.
But he's the Iceman. Yeah. Doesn't do that. That's the thing. John David at his best is the Iceman. He doesn't think. He's all instinct, right? And listen, against Qatar, you start him. I know the question was asked yesterday. Do you start John David in the second match? Of course you do. If you don't start him now, then you're just killing that confidence. And against Qatar, he could very well step up and get two goals. And he knows the pressure. He knows what's at stake. The first game of World Cups for a team is always a little bit weird, a little bit chippy, right? And we saw that, listen, the passing was not good at all yesterday. I think it was 73%.
Very wasteful.
Mm-hmm. Heavy first touches. There was the element of gripping the stick too tightly, as they say in hockey, I imagine, which is quite normal. But what I love about the second half and those subs, it became a bit chaotic. And this team's always good when they're chaotic. Remember Copa?
Yes, to our advantage. Lean into the chaos.
Playing that way. Bring that those three guys, if they're not starting again, and I don't think they can. Who knows if Ali's got 90 in him? If he has, then you definitely think about starting Ali, because I thought he was brilliant.
Yeah,
but if you bring on Promise Ali and Shaf, call it the Chaos Brigade or the Chaos Gang or something. Because Promise, by the way, I mean, what a freaking handful. There's a goal coming, right? He scored the goal against Ireland or Uzbekistan when it was ruled offside.
Uzbekistan.
Yeah.
Remember, he wasn't even cleared to use his left foot. Yeah, he smashed it top bins.
And then yesterday he had a couple of chances, but like Bosnia, who are big, strong boys, didn't want to have anything to do with him. I thought it was great. So then he riled the crowd up. So those guys coming on made a big difference for sure. I like your idea, though, Dubs, against Qatar to bring on a Saliba or a Shenhua at some point, because they do provide a little bit more of an attacking option. And you don't start them, right? But you have to also think about Switzerland, right? Now, you get a nice early goal against Qatar. You don't worry. But managing the minutes for these players in this World Cup in particular is going to be important. And you've got a pretty good squad, a deep enough squad, that you can maybe, you know, get these guys in there. But I wouldn't be taking Kone off. Say that much.
No.
I thought he was great yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, because we have like Nico Seguir, who has played a larger role, especially with the injuries of late, and Alistair Johnson, who is unfit. He's an unused sub. We mentioned Schwanier. We mentioned Saliba. There are a few other guys that I'm forgetting, but ones that have played, again, a larger and an important, a critical role for Canada that were unused, and they will get used because we have this renewed depth, or like just a new depth. I keep saying renewed. It's not renewed. It's a new depth. And I love what you're saying about the chaos, because Jesse Marsh, he didn't call it a tale of two halves, but he just thought we got ourselves right at halftime and we went out with the right type of energy. And the energy of this team should always be organized chaos, because they have to disrupt. If they're going to be, you know, super calm and composed and predictable in a sense, you're not going to dominate. We have to dominate by leaning on our strengths. And our strengths are using a guy like Promes to completely throw players off their games, to give defenders fits, to draw players to him, to open up spaces for others like Kyle Larin. So, Wonger, you were asking earlier, like the timing of it. So, yes, credit to Jesse Marsh for not only the type of substitutions, but the timing of the substitutions. He came in the 76th minute and he scored in the 78th minute.
Yeah.
And I believe it was on his first touch.
Yeah.
So I love that it was Kyle Larin.
Sherms called it. We've been doing our little fun things before. You said Kyle Larin's going to score the first goal.
He was talking a good game, man. And the last match, he was quiet except for two great opportunities where he could have scored, right? And he's a striker who won't get many chances, but, you know, it's about burying those when he gets them. And he said to the media, he said, listen, I'm getting in the spaces. I'm getting opportunities. The goals are going to come. And just the way he said it, a steely glaze in his eyes. So, yeah, this guy's up for the challenge. He won't be intimidated. He's coming off a season where he finished it with major confidence. Mm-hmm. Got a two-year deal. Everything's going right for Kyle Larin. And I'm so happy for him. I think you've got to start him against Qatar. I really do. And Tanny. That's what we expect from Tanny. He's involved. He's busy. He's great on the press. But he doesn't finish. Doesn't get those great chances.
I love that you use the word busy. It's the perfect word for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't finish, he should meet Dubs ringing the bell. That's all I'm saying.
Can we talk about, I want to talk about Luc Tafigerol, can we?
Yes, please.
So good.
I barely noticed him out there, and that is so great. He just did everything he had to do. He was, I did notice him because I watched him pretty closely. But he was good in the air. He was aggressive. He won his 50-50s. I thought for a 20-year-old kid who, as mentioned a couple of times this week, there was a time a year ago where he played more times in Canada than he played in professional soccer. Mm-hmm. Right? This guy's got no experience. He's got no experience. He steps up against a physical, nasty, mean, like these guys are fangs and the saliva and blood drooling down their chin, right? In Bosnia.
And they're men.
And they're
these
men.
Are men.
Oh, they're men.
They're not, there's not God. A, you know, you see a bunch of Bosnian football players, they're men. It's not like, who are those sleek? These are men. Like,
they're like white Thomas Davids, all of them.
Yes.
Men.
Men.
He didn't give a shit, did he?
No.
I'm going to play my game.
He looks good.
He is not intimidated.
He looks grown up.
Mature performance. Let's say great performance, because he didn't need to do a hell of a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Let's leave the word great for great performances. Azar, great performances. Fabio Cannavaro, great performances. Mm-hmm. This was a solid, mature performance.
Yeah. And I was thinking about like my World Cup journey. And like when I started with the national team, not a center back, I was a defensive midfielder. But I got my first start at 19, but my first World Cup game was at 20. So it's a big deal, but I was already an established starter at 20. So this is a kid, it's a difference throwing in a striker who's maybe a first timer, first World Cup, like you're trying to take in the experience and still play with that composure and that edge and that experience, kind of that heady play, which he just seems to have in spades. But it's way different when you're a center back. It's not only playing, you know, Derek Cornelius to your left, who's trying to shake off some rust. And we saw it in moments with some careless, some cheap giveaways from Derek. Max Crepeau had to come up big on the one occasion. We talked about it with the good two point. Friendlies they had, Uzbekistan and Ireland. The coach for Ireland said it. He's like, they're going to tire a little bit. They're going to come at you hard, but you're going to find space in behind. And if you're able to convert, that's how you beat Canada. And we controlled for it except for that one moment. And Max came up big where he had to come up big. But back to Luke, it's about how you're interrelating to your goalkeeper. The precise timing for the keeper to come out, but also to communicate with your two center backs. And I just think he's leaned into that and fit into that magnificently. Like what Jesse Marsh says about him is he's a young kid who plays experienced. I don't think there's a better description about that. And I love the way, like what we did poorly in the two preparatory matches, whether it was Moyes and Derek or occasionally Luc de Fougerolle and Derek, you had a nine, or like the attacking player from the opposition who was pulling into the midfield, and we weren't managing that. And it was pulling apart the back line and the integrity of it. And I thought Luke, for as bad as we were in winning aerial battles, and we knew that Bosnia, that was going to be a force. And we had nine corners in the first half. We were trying the long throws from Liam Miller, and we were unsuccessful. And it's no coincidence that we score the goal in the central channel by keeping the ball on the fucking pitch. Like, why would you go in the air versus Bosnia? But the one player who was dominant in his aerial duels, Luc de Fougerolle. And he was dominant in an area of the pitch where we had to be able to control them.
Yeah, well said. And by the way, if you see Luke up close, he is a man. He's built really, he's thickened up massively since when he first broke through.
He's a man, man.
They call him Machina, right? And that's his nickname.
Is it?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Holy Machina?
No, Machina, like machine.
Oh.
No, Joe Bowen. Holy Mac. No, not that. Different Machina.
We were just talking about that yesterday.
We were. Yeah, just yesterday. Yeah,
Asky
yeah.
Wee Wee. Asky what? Sorry.
But yeah, okay. So point, it sets them up pretty well. Got to beat Qatar now. And let's not just dismiss Qatar, but they should beat Qatar. Correct?
Yep.
Yeah. Sorry, I need to know, and Sharms, hopefully you know this. Do goals for and goals against matter now?
Yes, yeah.
Like
do.
This. So absolutely. We need to pump Qatar, or it would be best if we pumped Qatar. I mean, you got to win.
Yeah, it would be best, but not necessarily. I mean, second or third. Yeah, you know, it is because you finish in third place and you get through, you're playing a first place team, which you don't really want.
Right.
Right. So. Play your game. But Qatar is still an international team that qualified for the World Cup. So let's not, you know, say this is going to be an easy 4-0. It's not. They're playing Switzerland today, right? So I think we should watch that with great interest. Yes. We want to see Switzerland win, though, don't we? Really?
Yeah.
We should all be Switzerland fans today.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to have Qatar sitting on zero. Then you beat them, then they're way down in fourth place.
Yeah. Be neutral, but support the Swiss.
Jeez.
Pretty straightforward in that case, isn't it?
No, but yeah, you have to. I said no, but yeah, it's a very Canadian thing to say.
Yeah, but no.
Yeah, but no.
It's also Little Britain.
Exactly.
Remember the teenage girl?
Of course. Yeah, but no, but. So yeah, talked about the two big chances that we kind of left. The John David one being the biggest one, and then the Tanny Alawashe and the other opportunities that we had, because we were lively, we were front-footed, but we just didn't have that clinical edge. We couldn't convert, but we must do that versus Qatar. You have to do it. I don't think we're going to open up for three or four goals, but if we can keep that clean sheet mentality and we can control them, like our defensive transition has to be pristine. It has to be so good. We have to be so switched on, control them there. They're going to sit in the medium block. It's going to be that old thing again, like you stop Canada, you sit a little bit deep and you force them to kind of break you down. And I thought we created occasions, and I want to shout out Richie Larea, and I want to shout out, for as much as I'm seeing on, you know, the Twitter or these spaces where people are bemoaning Liam Miller, like crying out for Ali Ahmed to come back as that starter. It really is. But I thought that Miller did well. And I thought that Schaaf, when he came in, also did well relating to Richie and pulling inside and then allowing Richie to create the width and to pull out the defender. So as soon as Schaaf did that, you saw Miller do it with some success. But the two opportunities that Richie got, the one, his own shot off the line that was saved, and the other one that he created that I alluded to earlier, where he passes it, he cuts it back on his right foot and he finds the feet of Kyle Larin. He should have doubled doubled his tally on the day, was because of the movement of the winger to find that space on the left-hand side. So I really like the interplay out there, and Canada will need to do that versus Qatar, but you must score goals. And so I'm gonna call 2-0. I'm not usually somebody who's big on the predictions, but I think if we can, to your point, Wonger, about the goal difference, we keep a clean sheet. Max has let in the one goal now, but we don't give anything away there, and we're able to notch two. I think we set ourselves up pretty well going into that last group game.
Yeah. I had a draw in the USA Paraguay match, so that went well.
Did not happen.
Yeah. No, I called a win there for the US, but I didn't see 4-1. How about that goal by Gio Reyna?
God, I loved it. I want to marry that goal outside the boot. Seriously.
Tony, you'd be okay with that?
I don't want to marry that goal. No, I don't want to marry that goal. I just want to have a fling. Sorry.
A dirty fling?
Yeah.
A dirty fling with the goal?
Yeah. It was a dirty goal. It was filthy.
Not even a side chick, eh, Dubs?
No. Side piece. That's a one time and just have a great night.
That's like a little fling in the coat check room. Give me that goal.
Yeah, it's a coat check fling. It's the best kind of fling. Yeah. It's comfortable. It's warm in there. You can steal some wallets.
What is that? An umbrella?
Nope.
There's a hook on it.
What did you just call me?
Expanded. Oh my God. Close umbrella. Jesus Christ.
It's expanded.
What is it called when you open an umbrella? Is it open an umbrella? It's not a word for it, is it? No, it's just you just open an umbrella.
It's correct.
Anyway, I did not expect Paraguay to be that bad. Sorry.
Oh, no.
Not to get too much depth in this game, but I did not expect Paraguay to be that horrible. They were terrible, but I give the States a ton of credit, man. They look pretty good. What a way to start a World Cup. And to build your confidence, and Gio Reyna doing what he did, and Balogun, kind of wish he opted for England after all, because he's the real deal, that guy.
Yep. A big win, though. And then something else I was seeing on the Twitter was, we're the only host nation to not open our World Cup with a win.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Saving the best for later.
That's right. Yeah. I think we did enough. You had to share the points. Yes, we could have won because of all the opportunities, but we did enough. So kicked off on the right foot. Here we go. We're only going to get better from here.
I also just want to point out one more time about the rumors of Bosnia-Herzegovina fans. Sorry, I
how happy are you that we're not playing them anymore? Yeah,
thank God. The fans from the opposite team, opposite nation, they didn't take over. Like, I have to keep talking about, the math didn't make sense to me, from the timing and all that kind of stuff. So all of the Dubs was sharing some videos, and we were worried. I was literally thinking that Bosnian fans were going to take over that entire space. And they had a great pocket of supporters there, but they were in no way changed, kind of like, yes, it was great that they, but it was not, it was a red out. And I'm so happy for Canada soccer, so happy for Jesse Marsh and the national team that they could get that support. And there were tears. I saw so many people crying yesterday. Just, they were so emotional, and it was wonderful to see. Like, it was, I didn't realize it would move people to tears, but it really did. That's how much they love this supporters group and the support they give to the Canadian national teams. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well said, Wonger. On that, we'll say farewell.
Yeah.
Am I missing out on anything?
Yeah. Sure, why don't you why don't you just say what you guys are doing? I love when you promote yourselves. Okay. You're going to be in.
Yeah, I'm flying out to Vancouver later today, so I'll be covering them.
This is Saturday, just so people are, if they're listening. Yeah.
Canada travels today. I don't think there's any media access on Sunday at training, so there'll be no clips or sound bites from Canada. We'll be doing reports, but we'll be covering them on Monday, and there will be some access. I'm sure we'll hear from Jesse Marsh on Monday, ahead of Thursday's match against Qatar. Of course, we'll be watching all the games, whenever possible, and here every day, talking about said games. And I'm, yeah, I mean, look at my, me and Dubs are talking about this. Both of us, our calendars, like so many radio hits and TV hits. Like I just can't keep track actually. It's a lot, but it's great. Mm-hmm. Thoroughly enjoying it. Dubs, what are you doing today or tomorrow or for the next 10 years?
It's just meant to be a fling, James Sharman. Don't ask me about the next 10 years. I'm on two NSL games today. So I really got to shift gears and wrap my head around that. And we've got Jade Rose in studio, which would be very exciting from our women's national team, and also a double winner with Man City. They won the league today, so that'll be
That's
fun.
Great.
She'll be in studio with me and Kate McKenna on the first match, which is Halifax Tides versus Calgary Wild. That's the linear game. And then Pride match, so our own Claudio from the Voyageurs will be with the Vermilion Vanguard and those fans for Pride Day and out in full voice. And that'll be exciting. That's the second game versus the Roses. And I just want to say that yesterday, I think I did six things and I wore the hell out of this suit that I was wearing. So I didn't give a fuck. I wore the same thing for every
You were
single,
so worried about that. It was
every
ridiculous.
Every single thing that I did yesterday. And I just want to shout out, like, the last thing that I did was a Sportsnet hit with Jordan Wilson. I love working with Jordan, but it was the first time I worked with him at Sportsnet. We usually work together at One Soccer. And then I was going to go hook up with Wonger and JC and Kerry and DDC and Chris Work and Dougie Sims and Claudio himself and his brother, like all that gang. And then they moved, but we were able to track them down. And it was just a great way to end the day. To not only like link back up with Wonger and JC and like that Footy Prime gang, but then the Voyageurs and to kind of feel a part of it in a more intimate way, because covering the Canada match at CBC, like I looked at my colleagues, I got a chance to do with Donovan Bennett, John Grant, the producer, Miriam Karabi is a friend of the show. She scores bangers. Miriam was helping to produce the match. You almost have to distance yourself from the emotion of it because you're covering it. You must have felt the same way and to some degree, Sharms. And we all looked at each other right as things were kicking off. And we're like, what the hell are we doing? Like, let's not do this. Let's go outside and like, let's go to the watch party. Like, because we felt separate from what was happening.
Disconnected a bit, eh?
Felt disconnected, but you had to in order to be professional to cover it. So it was a really fun way for me to feel a part of it at the end of the day by seeing you guys and raising a glass. And I love that. It was a good way to end the day.
It was.
Yeah, I was chatting to Josh Cloak. And then I sat by Matt Schinetti at the press conference. And we were just talking and just was saying, you know, remove the reporters, journalists' hats for a while here. And we all just said, that was just fucking cool. It's just fucking cool.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It was just what an experience. Our first home World Cup and the men's side to see a team play pretty well. And just that, it just, if ever I've questioned, are we a soccer nation? You know, again, let's not get ahead of ourselves. We're on the way. May not be there yet, but it's more and more nights like days like yesterday, and I have to say we are. So Vancouver, over to you. I have great confidence in you.
Yeah, really that's amazing.
Yeah, because I can experience it all over again twice, maybe three times, probably three times.
That'd be great.
It's never happened.
Dare I say four? Yeah, you know, dreams.
No, she tells Sharms it has, but it's really only half.
Back to the coat room, coat check. Anyway. Let's say farewell. Make sure you follow us on all our social platforms. We're all over X and Instagram this World Cup, both individually and also from Footy Prime as well. And we're on Patreon as well. So please take a look. $3 a month, that's all it is. And a lot of community there. A lot of chance to talk about whatever you like, including this podcast you've just heard. So until next time, everybody, BetMGM, make it. And what do you say? Use your voice, your pipes.
BetMGM. Make it legendary.
Oh my God.
Oh wow.
No, we didn't need Will on that yesterday. We needed
I'm gonna go take Wong. Care of myself.
That was right funny now. Though when he said
he was great.
What honor
with
you.
A U. Yeah. Yeah.
Was, very good.
Great line. Wait,
he's good. And by the way, Buble was freaking amazing. Just saying. I don't know. When he started belting it out, he was pretty good.
It was good, but like it kind of brought him down a little bit.
No,
I thought the same. I was the same way, Dubs. I said Sharms and I, not Sharms, Craig and I were chatting last night, like I said, and we're like, I didn't like the crooning. It right, oh, it didn't
it
bring really the game up.
I was really Canadian.
I love Buble. Buble's got a silky smooth
I love
voice.
Him too.
It's just not the place for half past midnight. Time to head for them golden arches.
Almost felt football-y. Some of these club, you know, great clubs have these kind of weird songs, right? That they embrace from a blue moon that like Man City.
Yeah, but they
for
don't
example,
have
right?
one yet. Mm. It's just some
maybe
guy
we have
grinning.
Now. Maybe we have now.
Like Mull of Kintyre for Forest, right? Oh. Like it's a very kind of somber song that when sung together, like it.
You'll never walk alone.
You'll never walk alone.
Hey,
course.
Jude. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, maybe you'd prefer Nickelback, would you?
No. I love Michael Bublé. I just felt like it was an odd choice in terms of like the vibe and the energy of the song. That's all.
I thought you added to the vibe. Whatever. It's personal. I'm sure people will hate us individually
also,
for that.
Dare I hate your that accent.
Opinion. I know you do. Most people do. Sorry, I can't help it. It's one
no,
of
I love it.
All right, till next time, everyone. Bye-bye. Cheers for listening and watching if you're watching. Bye.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com to sign up for our newsletter.